So, as I said, I was up last night with the Lord and just dealing with that, the man plans the way, but God orders the steps. And I said, God, you know, I'm got a lot of real things in front of me right now that I'm looking at, that I'm facing, that I'm staring down. But I wanted to make a real last ditch effort with all my heart before God. And in his presence, that I hadn't figured it out. Yeah, I know I got your attention. 2 and 2 is 4, and 4 and 4 is 8, and you know, if you go this way, it takes you east, and this way takes you north, and this, you know, we have it all figured out based on the understanding that we have at hand right now. And based on that, all decisions and all logic and everything makes perfect sense. This is the logical recourse. This is the reasonable way to go. And I can even pull up some verses to back it. And then after you finish doing all of that, you still got to say, not my will, but your will be done. You still have to stop and say, God, I present to you my whole summation, but you are ultimately the judge. And your decision and your rendering should be final. In this season and in this year of prosperity in the area of obedience, I want to start this year by saying, if you have plans that you've been working on maybe for decades, I'm urging you to submit them before the judge before you keep making final decisions. This is the way I do it. This is the way I've been doing it. This is the way that seems right to me. I've already seen it. I got enough things. I even got scriptures to back up my stand. But where is God in our final decisions? God has given us wisdom, insight, understanding, and even knowledge of God. But God has not given us the power of final judgment. Somebody said, thank you, Lord. That's a good place to say thank you, Lord. Because if it was up to me, I would screw up everything. So I've been really dealing with just like the message that I'm starting this season is just bent on that. Obedience. Do I really let God give me instruction after I've made a decision? Oh, it's quiet. The answer is no. In some things, yes. Sherry just said it. I thought I was obedient. I thought I was, you know, I thought me and God was cool. And then God began to show me, no, you surrender to me what you've decided to surrender. But you walk out the rest of your life discovering what you have not surrendered. You walk out the rest of your life learning where God is not in control. And that is not the fun part of our walk, but it's a true part. I've apologized to God. I've apologized to people. People have apologized to me with tears in their eyes and full sincerity of heart. And then turn around the next day and do the same exact thing that we apologize with all of our heart for. Because we're remorseful of the outcome, but we're not surrendered to the change. I'm getting a lot of those mmms today. Can we have a real conversation? I started talking about obedience last week, and I said, obedience I don't know if I'm phrasing it the way I said it, but wants to be prized, wants to be recognized, wants to be acknowledged as something of value. Not I did it because I was told to do it, so I did it. Okay, so you said I can't do it, so I don't. Anyone who has children understand what that feels like. You know what you put your mama through. I'm going to do it. And you can tell, okay, fine. And you can tell, as soon as I can get you to look the other way, I am not obeying you. As soon as I can get you to slightly forget, oh, I'll try to come back at you later. I get this from grown folk in church. They try to come back. That's not what you said. That's not what I said. That's not what you said. No, you didn't understand. Okay, well, maybe I misunderstood you then. Because your heart was never in the apology. You were never surrendered to the truth that you thought you shouldn't have to. And sometimes you agree to it, but still can't surrender to it. So, if you would be so kind, let's go to Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 7. Let me know when you're there. I want to start at I had 7, but I'm thinking I might want to go back before that. I'm going to go to 4. And it reads like this: So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit for God, in order that you may bear fruit for God, in order that you may bear fruit for God. We're going to go on, but I just want to establish this foundation. We were called, we were saved, we were redeemed, we were filled with the Holy Spirit, that we may do what? This is a little tough for me to say, but I acknowledge it as a total truth. I've spent my whole life in walk primarily looking for fruit from God. Not to bear fruit for God. See, I don't like saying that. It makes me feel dirty. Even when I obeyed God, even when I repented to God for the wrongs that I was doing, I did it so I can get fruit from God. When I gave the tithe, which is the Lord's, it's not mine anyway, I gave him what was his so I can get fruit from him. And sometimes begrudgingly gave that, and then still demanded fruit from him. Have you ever prayed about something and it took long and you got ticked with God because he didn't respond like you thought he should? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. You can just gently acknowledge that within yourself. It's because we put God in the place of our servant. This series is about obedience. So we're going to talk about the state of our heart, because disobedience is not just an act. It's a state of spirit that shows itself in the act. Am I starting off a little too deep? We get focused on the action. God has been making me look at the things in me. I'm trying not to get emotional up here. That caused the action. The unsurrendered thing that I repented of a million times but never surrendered to his obedience so that I could have fruit unto him. So obeying right to get God to bring fruit to us is out of balance. It's wrong. How we doing? I'm literally standing up here trembling as I'm speaking, because when God spoke this to me last night and this morning, I was like you, Sherry, I was like, well, I thought I was figuring some stuff out. But I've been sensing for the past maybe 2 weeks just this feeling of heaviness over me. And I've been saying, bind the spirit of evil foreboding, and bind negative thinking. Whatever you are trying to oppress me and hold me down, Satan, you're a liar, and all of this stuff. And, you know, and we are supposed to say that stuff. We're supposed to address it. If something don't feel right in our spirit, you know, blame the devil if it ain't his fault. You know what I'm saying? Bind him, blame him, do what you got to do. But sooner or later, you got to get quiet enough and say, okay, God, so am I saying the right thing? Am I binding and rebuking? Am I doing the right stuff here? He says, well, he is the accuser of the brethren, and you should bind him. But then you have to ask yourself, are his accusations true? Ooh, it's getting quiet up in this place. Yeah, you're supposed to bind him. He don't have a right to accuse you. He ain't your daddy. He ain't got a right to get up in your face and judge you. He can't spank you. Well, it's God let it happen because it's sin in my life. Absolutely not. You ain't letting nobody beat your kid because it's sin in their life. You better not touch my kid. I don't care how wrong they are. You think you're a better parent than God? God don't step back and let Satan have you. He said, nothing shall pluck you out of my hand. Nothing. But then if you get quiet, he says, even though I let you, I took your place, even though I stood in your defense, even though I gave you the authority to knock the enemy down and back him up out of your situation, my question to you is his accusation true? And if so, when are you going to deal with it? I didn't like that conversation. But you know, he get on me. I just come and give it right to you. Look, I ain't going through this alone. If I got to get it, yo got to get it. So I said, wow. Yeah. So, as being led to this, I saw this, that you bear fruit for me. You know, it's not always you got sin in your life, you're stealing, you're robbing, you're cheating, you're committing adultery. No, he said, I just want to deal with your attitude of who you think works for who. You got the nerve to get upset when things don't go your way, as if I work for you. I want to start this series off, this message off, by just putting this down as a foundation. Obedience is not a torturous position. There's no torture or frustration for obedience. The frustration is when we disobey, thereby putting us in a place that we open ourselves up to things that God never intended for us to experience. There are things that we experience that is not part of God's intention and never has been and never will be. There's hurt, there's suffering, there's pain, there's lack, there's sickness, there's disease, there's all these kind of things that come that are not part of God's plan. And those of you who've been here long enough know that to be true. Yet, here it is, from time to time. There, here one, there one, here a chick, right? It's there. And God's like, but I didn't design you that way. I designed you to obey, thereby receiving correct instruction to guide you around the potholes and mines that the enemy has set. Say, God wants me to win.
God wants me to win.
Always.
Always.
Say it again.
God wants me to win. Always.
Say it again.
God wants me to win. Always.
So then say this. So I shall win always.
So I shall win always.
Say it again. Say it again.
So I shall win always.
So what I'm teaching you from this point on is the only thing that slows that down or knocks that off the rail is obedience or the lack thereof.
Amen.
That's the trick now that God is teaching me of the enemy that I never really paid attention to. That's the trick. Just a little disobedience. No. Just a smidgen. And before you know it, it becomes a lifestyle. And before you know it, you go around that same mountain again and again for 40 years, 30 years, whatever. They went around for 40 years, right? In the world, 40 years. Because that tone sets something. They think about this. God told them to take the promised land. They gave God the reasons they could not. Do you understand that they gave God reasons they could not? Are you listening to me? Based on decisions that they had already made. I'm telling you, I'm getting real professor on you today. You give God the reasons you can't based on decisions you've already made, not because of your lack of ability. I don't know if I could do all that. That's a lot. Who decided that? Who decided that? You decided that. You decided it was hard. You decided it was tough. You decided you didn't want to do it. Whatever the case may be, you decided it was your right to have it or not have it. Whatever the case is, you made a decision, and then based on God's instruction, you decided to obey or not obey based on decisions you had made prior. So now we got to go to our whole obedience pool. We got to trace back now by the Holy Spirit. God, what's the inception of this disobedience in this area, and what do I do about it? Okay, which verse did I leave off? 5. Okay, so it says, for us that we may bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, sinful passions aroused, and by the law were at work in us, so we bore fruit for death. Not for God, but for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve a new way of the Spirit and are not in the old ways of the written code. So now he's saying, this law that you used to be under had you bound, because no matter what you did, you couldn't escape the law. Your human flesh was not able to comply with obedience to God. That's why they had so many sacrifices that they had to do all the time. There had to be all this redemption, repentance, and all this kind of stuff, and the high priest and the court set up, and all, because he said no man is able to stand right before God. No man. Now, he said, so I've freed you from the code, the written code, and now you have the code of the Spirit. So I want to put this down before you, before we go further, because I want to make sure I establish a clear difference so that you understand when we start talking about disobedience, you don't immediately go to the code and put yourself back under the old law where you cannot be righteous at all. Is that okay? I want to make sure we're very clear about that. In yourself, by yourself, of yourself, you can't do anything but burst hell wide open. It's just. Now we all know, yeah, without Jesus, I couldn't be. Okay, we understand that. But let's say, if you have Jesus and walk by the code, you still can't be right. It's not possible. The scripture makes it clear that by the law of the code, that law was there, the scripture says, as a schoolmaster to show you your inability to ever walk right before God. The law was written to show man that they could never be right before God, so that when the salvation came, they would embrace it greatly because they would understand their inability. But men got caught up in their ability to do it in their own power, and they ignored the option. They ignored it. No, I got the sheep and the lamb, and we were going from, as Mike would say, giving the dregs, giving God the worst of our sheep, and the least of our giving, and when we do give our offerings, you know, God showed me this. He said, when you tithe, do you tithe with the same enthusiasm that you shop? See? The whole church, I'll tell you, it's on me. I shared it with you. We in this together. I have more love and joy overflowing given to Amazon. I'm being honest now. I ain't talking about you. I'm just talking about me. I get excited. I sit and then sit there by faith and wait for my package. Woo, it said on this date, my blessing is coming. Oh! Know it. I got faith Amazon going to deliver. They gave me the tracking number and the date and all of that. They better than God. Oh, you don't want to have this conversation. I depend on them. Switch the message? No. You're rolling your eyes all up in your head and stuff? Because you know I'm talking about y'all. That's why. God said if you tithe with half the enthusiasm that you shop on Amazon, we'd be good. That's a good place for that. Now, this was him talking to me. I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm just telling you this is what he said to me. Wow. He says, so I'm not giving you obedience as a whipping. I'm giving you obedience as a correction. I am more faithful and been around longer than Amazon. Yes. Yes, Daddy. And he wasn't yelling at me. I didn't feel like he was wagging his finger. I thought he was like saying, son, we need to have a little talk. Because I gave you this word in obedience, but I think you're thinking, as long as I just keep doing the stuff that I know how to do right and I've accepted as right, There ain't no other rights that I need to get, is there? Oh, we don't. Come on now. What am I doing wrong? That's exactly what you stood up here and said. Like, what am I doing wrong? And he said, oh, you don't want to know? This and this and this and this and this. But after he showed you the this, this, and this, and this, and this, then he's like, so now what are you going to do about it? See, that's the sticky part. I showed you now. Well, you know, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this one because I know this one is pressing. And I'm going to put these in here. We're going to bring that back up in a couple of years. We're going to just put that away. All right. Working on this right now, Jesus. Whew. Be patient with me. I get that all the time. Okay, I know. I'm working on it. Yeah, but what God working on? We know you working on. We know what you working on. God can only work on one thing at a time, huh? Except for when you want him to do something. Then you want him to be omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent. But when it comes to your issues, it's just one thing at a time, Jesus. Okay, this is God's conversation with me. I'm Now you did the Amazon thing to me. Now you're talking about the stuff that I just don't. Yeah. He said, well, you run four or five businesses at one time. Why you can't have four or five corrections at one time? And all the time he was smiling too. He had this little smirk on his face. Like, you really think you cute right now, guys. You know you right. But you really sticking it to a brother right now. But I felt the peace even in it. Right. He said, I'm not challenging you with the law. I'm asking you to open up your heart. The changes of heart is surrender. Obedience is ultimately surrender. And surrender demands trust. So some of you, I'll tell you something, you're like, praise the Lord, if it's what you want to hear. Let me say the thing you don't want to hear. Well, yeah, but what about such and such? I just gave you what the Lord gave me. I know, but that don't make sense to me. Okay, but is it wrong? No, you don't have that conversation. You just want to have the conversation that don't make sense to you. But does it bear witness? Well, can I ask you a question? See, right away, it's like, okay, so we're not receiving that. Let's go back to these verses. So he said, you're led by the Spirit now, not by the written code. If you demand to be led by or controlled by the written code, are you listening to me? Then you take all the wrath that comes with transgressors of the code. I don't know if you heard that. Do I need to explain that a little more? Under the law, if you didn't obey, you die or you suffered the consequences. That's the law. Under the Spirit, you have redemption through Christ where you can live under his grace until you walk into his full deliverance. So if you're insisting on walking under the code because you don't want to be led by the Spirit, you must suffer the repercussions of walking under the code. Choose today which one you serve. You want to keep intellectualizing your way out of it and pulling up scriptures to try to lock yourself to the code? Fine. But when you eat of that choice, don't come crying. Talking about obedience. God said to me, son, just like he did in the book of Revelations. He came to me last night and he said, I like this about you. Love this about you. I really appreciate this about you. But I have a concern. I have a concern. And when he put those concerns in front of me, immediately I said, God, forgive me for I have sinned against you. I've really put you to work for me, haven't I? I really decided where I was going to be obedient and what you owe me for it. Quiet in here today. It's quiet. I can preach quiet. Moving to verse number 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. No. The law is not sinful. But it does expose sin. The law is not sinful. It's put there to expose. What you choose to do with it after it's exposed is the difference between life and death. Law, spirit. Let's keep going. Nevertheless, I would have not known what sin was had it not been for the law. You see, I'm not going crazy. I'm speaking the word. I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." Stop again. Here we are. He's talking about the difference between the law of sin and the law of the spirit, and the point he chooses out of all the points wasn't murder, fornication, adultery. The point he uses right away is covet. What is coveting? Open question. Let's talk about it. What's coveting? And yes, you can cheat and look up if you want. You can do your concordance. Mike, please. Desiring something that belongs to another. Go ahead. Stick a pin in that one. Anything else? Yeah, you're going with him? I think they're in chambers right there. What you got? You okay? You got something new? Okay. No, okay. Coveting is desiring. Go ahead. You ever looked up something? To yearn. It's not just desiring it. It's to yearn to possess something that's not yours. Okay, now wait a minute. Make sure we put this in balance. I got a house, this much square feet, this many bathrooms, and all this kind of furniture. For you to desire that, is that wrong? No. You can go build your own house just like that. Go to the store and get your own furniture just like that. And I mean, it's crazy, but you can put the same curtains, the same bath towel sheets, make a total replica of the house. Something ain't right in your head, but you can do that. So then there's a line in desiring what somebody else has, being coveting. Desiring what somebody else has that belongs to them that has not been offered to you. It's coveting. Desiring that God be bearing fruit to you is coveting. You want God's position. We're supposed to bear fruit to God. Desiring God to bear fruit for us, we're coveting his position, just like Satan did. I told you I was ready for this. That's a covetous position. Isn't that what Satan said? I want them to bow to me. I want the angels to bow to me and bring me gifts and stuff that I pray for and what I want. That's a covetous position. He didn't just throw that in there because people wanted each other's car or whatever they rode back then, each other's camel. He He was saying, watch your heart. This whole thing I'm reading to you right now is about the state of your heart. It's not behavior. It's the state of the heart which induces the behavior. God, are they ready for all this right now? Mike says, yeah, come on now. Don't rob Michael, don't rob a brother. Bring it in. So he said, but you wouldn't have known that you shouldn't covet as a sin if the Lord didn't say it. Ready? You wouldn't know that coveting was the sin of trying to stand in God's place if I didn't just say it. But he's talking about the difference between you now acknowledging that is wrong and trying to do something under the law versus the spirit. Throughout this, I need you to understand he's making the comparison of this. You can try to handle it in your own strength under the code of the law, which subjects you to the punishment of the law, or you could surrender to the spirit and be changed by the power of the spirit. But you first have to have the law to help you realize that where you are is wrong. So if I didn't start this message by talking about us bearing fruit to God versus us trying to get God to bear fruit to us, you didn't even think that that was wrong. So I revealed it to you by the law. Please don't try to change it by the law. Oh, come on, I'm preaching good right here now. Y'all better. I'm revealing it by the law. But the change will come by the Spirit. Would you agree God hung out with me last night?
Yes.
It wasn't all fun, but it was eye-opening. Watch this. But sin seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandments produced in me every kind of coveting. You get it? But sin, the law of sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. This verse is crazy. This chapter is crazy. I've read it a million times and nobody ever broke it down to me. What did he just say? Pretty much he said the law is, I wasn't accountable for it when I didn't know it. Now the law came and made me all kind of guilty and made me sin all kind of ways because now the law revealed it. Think about this message. You didn't think about trying to get God to bring fruit to you instead of you bringing fruit to God until I opened my mouth. Now you're accountable. You're welcome. You didn't think about covetousness as you trying to claim the position of God versus you surrendering to God and trying to get God to surrender to you as covetous. Now you know. You're welcome. Now I'm telling you, don't journey down the path of, oh my God, I'm so filthy and dirty and there's nothing I can do, because that's what the law was designed to do, to reveal to you who you are. But the Spirit is the one who cleanses you and brings you out of it. And that's really kind of the end of the message, but I want to make sure as I throw this in, because I don't want you going home saying, oh God, I'm covetous. I'm trying to be you. Oh my God, I'm so dirty. Oh, look at me, I'm filthy. My knees are for everything about me. You don't want to let that in. But I do want to open your eyes. But I want to tell you the way out is by the Spirit. And that's what this verse is talking about. Got it? Everybody go, ah. So he said, Once I was alive apart from the Lord. You know what he means by that? I could sin all kind of ways and I didn't know it was sin. So I was having a good time. How many of you was living a whole different life before you got saved? Then you were like, well, I ain't supposed to do that. It was fun before you found out. You, even though in your inside you still probably were dying in the midst of it and you knew it. It was fun. It was whatever it was. But then once you found out, you was like, I'm going to just take a side journey. Do you know that other religions can do all kinds of stuff and nobody points a finger at them? Let a Christian do it in the media. But you're supposed to be a Christian. You ain't supposed to do that. And my response to them always is, the fact that you know that makes you accountable. You do know that, right? If you're telling me that I'm a Christian, I ain't supposed to do that. That means you know the law. That makes you accountable. That's why I say, as you judge, you should be judged in the same measure you should be measured to you again. If you can look at somebody else and say it's wrong for them to do that, then you acknowledge by the law that it's wrong. I don't care. Well, I'm not a Christian. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. You acknowledge that that's wrong. And based on that, you're judged by the law, though. That's why I'm saying, and I'm just going to throw this out there. That's not part of the message. I was up last night, and I have been for the past couple of weeks. Every time I see everything about this insurrection and all that went on, I feel myself getting angry and upset. And just certain people, I just wish they would just die. You don't want to admit it? Real talk. And God said, watch it now. Watch it now. Don't be wishing law on people and asking for grace for yourself. So he said, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that their heart is changed. Pray that they get saved. For real. Because they won't walk around with crosses and everything thinking they represent God. And the church leaders, that's fault of it. Because they let them do it. And they ain't say nothing about it. They raided the Capitol and went to church Sunday morning and worshiped. Ain't nobody told them. And those leaders, I had to pray for them because I'm like, ooh, you're going to get it when you get before the throne and you got it coming. And God's like, yeah, not so nice. Pray for your country. This is your country. Pray for your nation. This is your nation. Pray a cease and desist that the blinders be taken off of these people instead of praying that they all go down to the pit of hell together. That's a practice. You know, I'm doing it though. I started. That's a practice. Every now and then I'll be like, yeah, God, but this one. He's like, that. Stay on the grace side. Pray for them. Pray for them. Let it go. Okay. Because he said, you know, this is what God said to me. I didn't plan to share this. He said, because you know the other side is just as guilty. With the abortions and same sex and all that, okay, they just as bad. He said, so do you, none of them right. None of them right. He said, none of you are right. So, you know, you can't pick the side that you choose to make the evil one. He said, the whole church on both sides of it stink before me right now. Stink. It's putrid, the smell. Okay. Well, see, God, I'm not even either side. I don't go with them. I don't go with them. I think it's all wrong. God said, yeah, whatever, though. But if you start judging, you're picking a side. These are the kind of conversations we've been having for the past couple of weeks. So people have been talking to me, like, you don't seem the same. You ain't talking. You're not as judge. I'm just not in a jolly time right now. Because I'm looking at this stuff and I'm being challenged. I'm talking about this stuff, not the stuff in the world. I'm talking about this stuff. This stuff that's being revealed in me. This stuff. And I don't like it. I don't like that the Lord is showing me how dirty my package is. Once I was alive from the law, but when the commandments came, sin sprung up to life and I died. I found that the commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. You see that? Make a note right there. Deceived me. Sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. And through the commandment, put me to death. So then, the holy law and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. That should be a question. It's good, right? But wait, it just, sin seized me once I became aware of it and condemned me to death. But the law, because it revealed it, is good. Did you catch that? Because the law reveals to me, because of what I stood before you today and shared with you, convicted you, it reveals something to you. So it's good. But it also revealed to you a side of you that was dead, that you loved Amazon more than you love God. You follow what I'm saying? Are you seeing it? The revelation, the fact that he takes the time to show you is good. And as a result, it also at the same time awakens the truth in you that you're living in a place of death. Got it? Illumination and revelation, and all of a sudden, you are enlightened and accused at the same time. That's the law. Spirit of it takes a different spin, which you see. Did that which is good then become death to me? No, by no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. You got it? Now that you know it's bad. Before you were good with it, you had no conscience, you felt no condemnation, you were comfortable to walk down the road to something that would destroy you without even knowing it. Now that it's been revealed, you have a choice. You got this? Is this speaking to you? We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. Stop right there. What did we just read? Come on, talk to me. That one verse. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what to do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. Well, why do you hate to do it? Because it was revealed. But before it was revealed, you loved to do it. What did we get out of that? Talk to me a little bit. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. Just that. No? Say it louder. I can't really see the sin until God shows me. Good. That's one. Come on. Just that one verse. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. What do we see there? Oh, I'm loving this message today. Got you guys thinking. And the clock is telling me I don't have much more time, so bring it on in. No? See, that I love this. I know that the law is spiritual. So the problem is not the law. The problem is me. I'm unspiritual. The law is revealing my sin to me from an unspiritual place. But the law is spiritual. Come on, y'all. There's a solution in that statement. It may not look like it, but there's a solution in that statement. I think this may be a good place to wrap it. Go ahead, Mike. That's what it looks like, right? So I need to adhere to the law. But that's what makes you aware and then slip deeper and deeper into sin. He said, by becoming aware of the law, I became even more sinful. There you go. He said, the law is spiritual and I'm not. So the solution is, I need to walk in the spirit so that I receive the law from its intended position instead of trying to stay in the flesh in my disobedience and try to work the law. How comfortable is it for us to say to God, God, you know what? I don't even want to do that right thing. I just don't. I like my sin. I'm actually freaking enjoying it. But if you give me a spiritual heart and view toward this thing, I can walk out. If I can become more spiritual, just, and please stop this whole pie and one thing Christianity book. I pray God for wisdom, so I know I got wisdom. And you pray for God for wisdom in what? Okay, maybe just in this one first step of the building that has 1,000 steps. Okay, don't say I pray for wisdom, so therefore you got it all. No, you pray for wisdom right here. And you and hopefully you get the wisdom right there. And let's take those first two steps and we'll deal with the third step when we get to it. I don't like these people say, well, I pray for God's will. Okay, so what's your plan? What? What's your plan? I'm just going to trust the Lord. I thought you said you got his wisdom. You got his wisdom. Well, you trust him. You good. Lay it out. Write it out on the paper for me. Lay it out. Tell me you got it. You said you got it. I trusted the Lord. The Lord just told me to be at peace. Okay? And how are you going to do that? Because you were just cussing me out yesterday. Well, you know, I'm human. We all make mistakes. Okay, so then you don't have it then. Which one are you in? You're trying to do things that demand you to be spiritual from your natural man and calling that Christianity, and that's not the definition. That's why they can go and seize the Capitol and do the stuff in the name of Christ. Because it makes sense to me. They felt right. And most of the law enforcement agreed. So what do we have? The spiritual revelation of what's right and wrong, and the natural revelation. And the natural revelation, those who thought they were right, that's getting hauled off in handcuffs, I realize, oh, that wasn't right. People pulling down their stuff off the sites and everything. No, I don't want them to see me. Well, they already got the stuff. They got it. And now you're realizing. I hate to say this, but one man's response to that was to kill himself. Because he got arrested. That's why we got to walk in the spirit. We can be easily deceived. None of us are better than them. None of us is better than them. None of us. The difference is we haven't done anything as crazy yet and hardened our heart so hard that we found ourselves in that kind of situation. But God showed me something, and I thought about it. I said, God, if I was there, would I went in that building? Everybody was going in there. I'd have been, ooh, I get to go in the building. My mind would not even been an insurrection. But, ooh, I get to go in the Capitol building. Everybody else is going, I'm going. Yay! Until they start hauling me off and cutting. Like, no, I just want to see the Capitol. Everybody else was going in. And there were those. They're like, I was in there to try to be violent. The line was pushing up behind me. I went with the flow. Okay, well, you going with the flow to jail. I was just trying to make a joke on people, but my point is, the Spirit reveals to us right from wrong. If you were there and you were led by the Spirit, as soon as they start pushing, you would have been like, mm-mm, I ain't going that far. Mm-mm, y'all can run up in there if you want. My Jesus told me I can stand outside. So let me just do this one last time and let's just wrap it up on this point. This is real good. We know the law is spiritual. But I am unspiritual. So as a slave to sin. The key is that I need to be spiritual. I need to be led by the Spirit. I need to walk in the Spirit. And I need to know what that is. The key to obedience for today, let's wrap this up right here with this sentence. The key to obedience is knowing what God is telling you to do at this moment. You don't need to know all because all hasn't been revealed to you. We didn't realize that certain things in our life was covetousness until today. But now it's revealed. We surrender that to His Spirit. Change my heart. Because you can't get there and say, okay, let me make myself Amazon excited about tithing. Come on. Let me picture the truck. Let me picture the little swoop thing. Yeah, and I saw my tithe up in the, you know, you could try that. And it may make you feel good for a day, but sooner or later. But when it becomes a revelation from the throne, it's yours. When your spirit is enlightened, are you listening to me? When your spirit is enlightened to that truth, it's yours and nobody can take it. Amen?